ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Praise the Lord. So we still continue our series on health and healing. The Father, God want us whole. God want us whole. You're all welcome in Jesus' name. Welcome those watching us online. And it's a joy to see Toby and his precious wife this morning. They just got married 2 Saturdays ago. Amen. And then if you notice, there's just something new about the keyboard stand this morning. So our keyboarder also got married last week Saturday. Praise the Lord. So it's indeed the year of divine perfection. And I know that we will introduce one or two people today. That which they want to do quickly before December 31st. And then for 2021, please get ready, get ready, get ready. I say get ready. Maybe I should just say it's a year of revival. So things are going to be happening. We start our series of teaching around next year very soon. But we believe that he said you will revive us again. It's just an apt word for the season that we are in. And please don't stop praying for your nation. Don't stop. Don't stop. I'm beginning to see that a lot of Nigerians are emotionally detached from Nigeria. You can't. You can't. Thank God you were not born in the days of Udoji Award. So let it go. You were born for such a time as this. Thank God you were not born when students used to enjoy bursary. Thank God you were not born when Nigerian Airways ticket to London was just less than 500 Naira. You are born for such a time like this. God has wired you for such a season like this. So don't detach. I've seen that happening. A lot of people are discouraged. A lot of people are disappointed. And it's like it's a scheme, it's an agenda, it's a plan from the pit of hell. Even the young people, it's seemingly they've caged everybody. If you listen to the testimony at the panel yesterday, I sat back and I watched it and I saw people lying. The people we look up to, lying openly. But hey, you and I, we are here for a purpose. Even if you have plans to travel, you are still in Nigeria. That green passport, the glory of God rests upon it. I mean, I believe it in my lifetime. We will come back to where we used to be. We don't need a visa to enter the United Kingdom. That we won't need a visa to enter the America, or as it were. I look forward to that time, and it's going to be possible. Where Nigerian Naira will be 70 kobo. I mean, Nigerian dollar will be 70 kobo. And we carry our Naira to wherever country we want to go. That's why we need to make the investment in the place of prayer. And someone says, how can this deal me? Questions were asked like that in the Bible. So it's not strange. It's not strange. So, but this is will be. Because of 2 Chronicles 7:14. He didn't say if the experts come together and design an economic strategy, then I will turn the nation around. He said, if my people who are called by my name. And he gave us what to do. We'll humble themselves. We pray. We seek my face. And then turn from their wicked ways. He said, then I will hear from heaven and we forgive their sins and heal their lands. I believe for the restoration of Nigeria. It's not in any political party. It's not in any leader. It's in the hand of the Lord. And God is building this nation, even though we can't see it physically at the moment. But he's doing an awesome work. So your investment in prayers, it matters a lot at this time. So don't be discouraged. Because I see it happening. When you ask people to pray for Nigeria, they sit back. They're just moving their mouth like that. But in some places, we don't do it here. When you ask people to pray for visa, then the volume goes up. No, we can't. This is our nation. No matter how you have the dual citizenship, when people in such a nation, because they are still human beings, they discriminate. And for those of us who the Bible has written about us in Song of Solomon, he said, I am dark and lovely. And because we are dark, they hate their God, our God, anywhere in the world. And when they realize that you are a Nigerian, it doubles the ratings. But we are who God says we are. And so we are not ashamed to be Nigerians. So please don't stop praying for your nation. You can. I know there are things in the physical that doesn't look like it at the moment. But those who trust in the Lord, they shall be like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. He said, as the Lord surrounds Jerusalem as a compass city, so the Lord surrounds Nigeria. And Psalm 122 in verse 6, he said, pray for the peace. This is our nation. We pray for the peace. We know things are happening. I can mention them one after the other. And they look like scams at the moment. But the bed of this country has become too short for everyone who lies on them in wickedness. And we will see the goodness of the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus. I know you won't say amen, so I'm not surprised. Maybe some of us, we pray that all those programs, whether HSMP, whether pool, they cancel it. So maybe that, when they cancel all those programs, then you say. I know you won't say amen. And I'm not inspired by the devil. I am inspired by God. For the sake of the generation that is yet unborn, we have to make this investment in prayer, in dedication, in commitment. And where we read in that, from that Second Chronicles, it said, who shall humble themselves, turn. So, the thing, wherever you are a player at the moment, in whatever industry, in whatever career path, you must choose to be the light. That's turning from the wicked. There is a general mindset in the society that this is what obtained. But dare to be different. Dare to be different. In Matthew chapter 5, I know that we need, I'm ready and I'm committed to it. You know the only campaign I want to do? Get your PVC. I will preach it to until a point that if you don't have it, you won't be admitted into the service. Because we need to make that change. Hey, we've been praying, but in addition to our prayer, one vote, one man, to make a decision for the destiny of our nation. And we won't shy away from it. Two things I'm praying for. Number one, you get your PVC. Second prayer, God will use INEC chairman such that those he has given us the hint, those in diasporas can vote. I'm conversant with it because I'm interested in this nation. Lagos Ibadan Expressway, if you don't know, is supposed to finish 2022. Lori Kini, 200 kilometer road. And many people would have died. And if they are crawling, they would have gotten into heaven before that road is completed. That's wickedness. Not from the pit of hell, from the hearts of men. So, we pray. You use your vote. And then God will use INEC By the way, Cyrus was an unbeliever, so God used him. I'm speaking to your conscience now. That's why you are silent. This is our country. This is our nation. Where people run to, the best doctors, the best engineers, they are also Nigerians. This is our nation. This is our country. Look at it in the physical. Is it arts and entertainment? Nigeria is on the lead. Is it media? Nigeria is on the lead. Sometimes I look at graphic designs that are made in other parts of the world, and the ones made here by Nigerians, Iyatowa. So it means there is potential in this nation. It means the destiny of Africa is tied to this nation. Because when you look, when you run through Africa, in terms of forward thinking, Nigerians are number one. So we have to help our brother man. No, I got a video this week. He put it in proper perspective. You know, there was an election somewhere that you all know. Somebody is behaving like a crying baby. They are shouting Riggy. How many times since 1966 they've been shouting Riggy in Nigeria? So it's better. 1960. Let them also experience what rigging is all about. And you know, between you, yourself and me, if democracy, first world is shouting about rigging, and then the third world is also talking about rigging, so it should tell you that we don't have any model to follow. Let's come back to Christ the healer. 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 Matthew chapter 8. Please, as a church member, as a member of Lighthouse, and you know, because your name represents Lighthouse, you have to have a PVCO. PVC. Amagba. Do you know that some of the police station that were bombed, they saw PVC of people inside them? So, you will register, you will collect, it becomes your ID to enter church. I don't have any party. I'm not an apologetic to any party. I keep saying it. For your information, 2015, I didn't vote for your party. 20, which one? 19, I didn't vote for your party. I'm a party. So, I know my candidate won't win, but that's none of your business. So I'm not an apologist for your two leading party. They don't have ideologies. It's one of the same. It's just like saying Republican and Democrat. It's the same ideology. Put American as number one in the world, conquer the world, and everybody becomes subservient to America. Now keep it quiet. We have to be heavenly minded and utterly responsible. That's what I'm saying. Said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. There's a contest. Christ the healer. I'm just being drawn to talk about our nation. Please, please, even if you are going, you have parents here. Didn't you? Even if you are going, you have cousins here. You have nephews here. And so when people go, they are emotionally detached. And so you hear Nigerians saying things like, they are killing everybody in Nigeria. I say, you are very stupid. Me that you are talking to, have they killed me? Is it not the same nation that you went to? You, and we know your secondary school, Igbotele Grammar School. You are not rhyming rhyme for me. Because you stayed in America for 2 years. Matthew chapter 8. Finally, my brother, Matthew chapter 8. Verse 14. Let's read something this morning. Verse 14. It said, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and served them. Verse 16. When the evening had come, they brought to him many. Many, not few. Many who were demon possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word. And he healed all. Many were brought. And he healed all who were sick. Christ the healer. He said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And when Jesus saw great multitude about him who surround him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. We've said that no one made it their personal goal to be sick. So I've never seen anyone who says, my goals for 2021, one of the goals for January is to have malaria. February, to have yellow fever. June, to have symptoms of cancer. No, no one in their right mind. Even God himself says in 3 John 2, I wish above all things that you prosper. That's not the end. But also be in health. Even as your soul prospers. God doesn't take delight in sickness. He doesn't want us to be sick. Even people who will nurse us when we are sick, they don't like it. That they can't meet the appointment because they are waiting on us to use our drug at 12 noon or 2 p.m. or 3 p.m. Even the doctors, sometimes, because doctors care, God heals. But sometimes when a patient is too regular, they are like, say, otitude. So it suggests to us that there is something in every man. It's like a God input that we all repel sickness, death, and pain. So, God's desire, as we read in our text this morning, I mean, only God knows where Jesus and his disciples were coming from. They must have, I mean, in those days there were no cars. They must have walked through, and they know that if you enter Peter's house, where his mother-in-law is, you are sure upon the jam. So this day, they enter and they met the woman sick. They probably have said, could it work? We can't even buy any food anywhere. We've thought about this woman. She can't be sick. And so they told the master. The Bible says the master reached out to her and touched her. And then the fever left her. That was in the hand. You know, that kind of touch is not that, touch. It was instantaneous to the fact that the woman had the energy back to get up, cook the yam, pan the yam, and then put ila lasepo, iru soup, pomo. Hey, lunch today. What am I saying? God's desire for us is that we live in health. And then some few verses there, you also read that many people were brought to him. So, those category is not like the category of fever. They were demonic oppression induced diseases. So Jesus wasn't even afraid of them. You know, sometimes when we say now, some people should come out for their sins to be forgiven, there may be many people who will respond to that, maybe in a crusade. But when it comes to, if you find yourself flying in the night, come out, you find out that a whole lot of people, some people, I mean, somebody said something to me once. They went for a program somewhere in this city, and there was no place to sit. No place at all. And so as the program progressed, the man of God by the word of knowledge said, there are certain people here, this is what they do, and do, and that people should come out. He said, interestingly, many people came out. He said, but by the time people came out, he just realized where he was standing. That at certain places in the auditorium, suddenly there were empty seats. What happened? By the time they prayed for those who were flying in front, by the time they were returning to their seat, all raptures happened to many of the brethren who surround them seated. Because they are also afraid. They thought that that's a special devil that Jesus can't handle. And even if he handles, he can jump from one person and come and fix on them. So my friend said, he just said, okay. And he quickly went and he sat comfortably by the side of the person whom they have just delivered. You know, some people believe Jesus can take care of their sin, but don't believe he has taken care of their sickness. Some people believe that Jesus has taken care of their sin, don't believe that he has taken care of their prosperity. Some people believe that Jesus has taken care of their sins, but don't believe that he's with them when life throws storms at them. Disappointment, heartbreaks, being left broken, bruised, and shattered. They don't believe that the same blood also provided for deliverance from shame, deliverance from demonic oppression. And so this morning, I introduce to you this Christ, the healer, in case you have not maximized the things that he has done for us. Isaiah 53 in the Amplified Translation. Isaiah 53. I want us to read together, but as you read, I want you to read with your mind open. I want you to see Jesus before he was introduced from eternity into this human realm, Isaiah 53 in the Amplified Translation. And I want you to see the work of Jesus being described in Isaiah 53, and then up to the cross, and then where he is presently in the ministry of the high priest of our intercession. Isaiah 53, please. Thank you for helping me to preach. He said, who has believed that he's trusted in, relied upon, and clung to a message of that which was revealed to us, and to whom the hand of the Lord has been disclosed? For the servant of God, so capital S, so it means he's referring to a person, the servant of God, Jesus is this case, grew up before God like a tender plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, no royal, no kingly pomp. You can see where he was born in the manger, that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire of him. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men. Many times in the gospel, you read that. One day they told Jesus, they said, you are mad. He said, how can you call God your father? He said, do we not know you? Are you not the son of a carpenter? Did you not make my stool the other day? He said that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire of him. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pain, and acquainted with grief and sickness. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised. And we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. Surely, whether we acknowledge it or not, certainly, whether we know this to be true or not, assuredly, whether we have accepted the reality in our life, truly He has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pain of punishment. Yet we ignorantly consider Him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, as if He's carrying a leprosy. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement need to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon Him. And with His stripes that wounded Him, we are healed and made whole. How we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has made to light upon Him the guilt and iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, yet when He was afflicted, He was submissive and opened not His mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, as a sheep before our shearers is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. By oppression and judgment He was taken away. And as for His generation, who among them considered that He was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken to His death for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? And they assigned Him a grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his debt, although He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise Him, and He has put Him to grief and made Him sick. When you and He make His life an offering for sin, and He has risen from the dead in time to come, He shall see His spiritual offspring like we are today, and He shall prolong His day, and the will and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge of himself, which he possesses and impart to others. Shall my uncompromisingly righteous one, my servant, justify many and make many righteous, upright, and in right standing with God. For he shall bear their iniquities and their guilt with the consequences, says the Lord. Why is Christ our healer? Why is He our healer? Number one, healing is in God's redemptive plan. Healing is in God's redemptive plan. Sin has broken the world, but Isaiah 53 that we read talks about His impact. He broke through sin. He became sin for us. In Matthew 8, 16, 17, He said that it might be fulfilled. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, talks about how sickness is not supposed to stay in our body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19, 20, He said, we are the temple of the Lord. We are. I mean, we get into this next week, Sunday. How you can keep what to eat, how you can keep your body. Shun immorality and all sexual looseness. Flee from impurity in thought, word, and deed. And any other sin which a man commits is one outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? Hey, people said this a lot. They said, well, it's my life. No, he says, you are not your own. You are bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness, and paid for, made His home. So then honor God and bring glory to Him in your body. When we don't do that, sometimes sickness can break loose into our bodies. But we are. Healing is in God's redemptive plan. Please understand today, if you this reality has not dawned on you, the devil does not like you. He doesn't. He doesn't like you. The devil hates you for real. In fact, the things about your redemption, about your salvation, in somewhere in Peter, it's written that even angels desire to look into these things. So, everything about your redemption is complete. Sin, sickness, poverty, it's complete. Jesus paid it. He said, for this purpose, 1 John 3:8, the Son of God was manifested that he may destroy. So, the works of the devil has been destroyed. We are bought with a price. We are the temple of the living God. So, Christ is our healer. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. And darkness and light doesn't reside in the same space. So the devil doesn't like us. We do everything possible to inflict all our bodies if we give him that chance. Romans chapter 8 verse 11 for you to know. Romans chapter 8, it said, if the spirit of him, it's not another Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit of God. Spirit of him who raises God, who raised Jesus from the dead by the Spirit. He said, from the dead dwells in us. He who raised, the same God who raised Christ from the dead, we also give life. The word life there means Zoe. John 10:10. The devil would want to steal, kill, and to destroy, but he has come to give us life. So, that same spirit is the one who gives life to our mortal bodies through the spirit who dwells in us. You know, a lot of us believers, we don't think about these things until sickness heals. Oh, please, the message is not for sickness to hit. The message is for you to be proactive. The message is for you to live in health. And whenever sickness hits, peradventure or whatever happens, you still have access to healing. Because healing is in the redemption plan. Health is in the redemption plan. Zoe, which is the life of God that lives in us, it has the capacity to restore. It has the capacity to renew. It has the capacity to make whole. Zoe has the capacity to even slow down the aging process. You know, when people get to certain age, they say, oh, if you are this age, these are the likely diseases that you have to contend with. You can say no to that. Because Psalm 103 says, it said, your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know why they say that? They said an average eagle lives minimum 70 years. How much more you and I created in the image and in the likeness of God? You say, oh, is that possible? It is possible. He said, all things are possible to him who believes. What do you believe about this God? What do you believe about it? Is God to you somewhere you go to or somebody you go to on Sunday? Or you live in the consciousness that every second, every minute, he lives in you. He's the one who gives breath. He's the one who makes you. He said, I will bless the Lord. That's what the psalmist said. Oh, my soul. And you will know that healing, which is my next point, is from Old Testament into the New Testament. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He heals all of our diseases. He heals all of our sicknesses. He showed us his loving kindness and tender mercy and renew our youth like the eagles. So healing is in the redemption plan of God. Healing is God's miraculous power. If you believe it, you experience it. Secondly, God made provision. Why Christ is our healer? God made provision for our healing. God made provision. It's revealed through Jesus in both the Old and the New Testament. Both Old and the New Testament. Let me pick a verse from the Old Testament. Exodus 23, verses 25 and 26. Exodus 23, verses 25 and 26. It says, you shall serve the Lord your God. He will bless your bread and your water, and he will take away. He will take sickness away. That's God. He will take sickness away. God's desire is that we be well. Verse 26. He said, no one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. And he says, he will fulfill. That's his word. There's one scripture. I usually forget that scripture. But I think Minister Kenny has quoted that scripture today. He said, no inhabitants of Zion shall say. It's somewhere in Isaiah. Isaiah what now? He said, no inhabitants. That's New Old Testament. He said, no inhabitants of Zion shall say, I am sick. That's Old Testament. In the New Testament, let me read James 5 for us. James 5, 14 to 16. So, why is Christ our healer? Because God made the provision for our healing. And through Jesus, both in the Old and the New Testament. James chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. Is anyone sick? It's not as saying people, the church is full of sick people. What the Bible is literally saying by that question. Hey, before we close today, is there anyone sick? It's like a question. Is anyone sick? Emotionally? Financially? Psychologically? Mentally? Physically? Is there anyone sick? Is there anyone sick? That's the genesis of praying for sick people in church. So let them call. Let them call. He said, let them pray over that person, anointing him in the law, over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. What does it mean? It's not the anointing oil that heals, but the prayer of faith. That is the prayer of agreement between the sick and the sick. Is there any English word like that? I don't know where that one came from. Between the person who is praying and the person that is being prayed for. English student can decipher that. So, the prayer of faith, there must be an agreement. Jesus made you all. Because sometimes when you pray, in church, when they ask a question and prayer is offered, the person asking the question may believe that Jesus heals. Jesus paid it all. The person answering that question may believe that Jesus healed, agree. Jesus paid it all, agree. But this one on my body is for the punishment for my sins. So, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Why? The sick can't pray when they are sick. Depending on the sickness. Sometimes you can't pray. That's why you need to store it up. Proverbs 4. They are life to those who find them. My son, attend to my word. Proverbs 4, 20 to 23. Incline your ears to my saying. Keep them in the midst of your eyes. Let them depart from the midst of your heart, for they are life. So this word of healing must be found. It goes beyond my pastor says. This is what the word of God says. This is what I believe the word of God says. He was wounded for my transgression. I believe it. I believe those 39 stripes represent the 39 classification of diseases that will ever exist. And I believe Jesus paid the supreme sacrifice for it all. And this one in my body, he dies now because this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have to come to that place of knowing for yourself. Just like you know for yourself that he has forgiven your sin. How many people know that their sins have been forgiven here? Yeah, it's the same way. You also know for yourself that by his stripes you are healed. You also know for yourself that it doesn't matter. When you are exiting this world, it's not going to be by sickness. You have to know it for yourself. He said, with long life will I satisfy him. So, you determine what that long life means to you. He said, and I will show him my salvation. The word salvation is sozo. I will show him my deliverance. I will show him my victory. I will show him my prosperity. You are the one to determine that. Whether you are born on the altar, it does not matter. You have to know it for yourself. That's it, my brothers. So,
He was made provision was for it, for our healing, revealing Jesus in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And there is one thing that runs across both Old Testament and the New Testament. God is not a sadist. Living long in health is our inheritance. Except Jesus comes. I mean, I love that song. He said, till he returns, or takes me home. He said, Jesus command my destiny. I've said it. Nobody desires to be sick. And when you are sick, it's not a good life. It robs you of your ease. Will people still be sick so that doctors can make money? Yes. It's by choice. Science is also put is the discovery of God. I mean, let me give you, I gave this testimony during the first service. There was a lady that I know. She's lived her life. When I say she lived her life to please herself. So she gave her, in the process of living her life, a womb has been taken out. So, but she gave that life, she gave it to the person who is supposed to be. So, and automatically in the natural, she can never have a baby. But she stayed with the word. She got married. And then, after some time, she missed her period. And then the same doctor that removed her womb, she went back calling that I'm feeling sick. And they said, let's run a scan. And they found a set of twins. It's very easy to say hallelujah now, Abby. But that defied the report. And that's why Isaiah 53 says, who has believed this kind of report? That suggests that the arm of the Lord, you know, there is a saying, I don't know where they got that saying from, that the cow that does not have tail, because the cow messes up on its own body, so it has, which will attract flies. So it has to be God who will help that cow to scare away. And you know, there is no, cow doesn't have hand to say. So, whatever it is always sweet in Yoruba. Malu ti oniru. Oluwa lo ma bale esisi. So, there are things you can still do to help yourselves. But there are certain things that God must step in. And if he steps in completely. That person has 4 kids today. So, 1 shot, 2 twins. Another short twins. How do you explain that? Provision was made. She knew that she couldn't do it in the natural. She followed through the provision. And I'm saying this to you in closing because our time is spent. If you have any infirmity, whether it is terminal in that real sense, whether it is whatever it is that you are trusting God, you seek in your body there are ailments, whatever. Please, this week, write it down. Isaiah 53. Waje, you must find something. You must. Isaiah 53, write it down. Matthew 8, 16 and 17, write it down. 1 Peter 2, 24, write it down. Aje be down, please write for me. There's no overdosage. If it doesn't work, consult your physician again. There is nothing. Don't see your doctor that you have overdose of it. 1 Peter 2, 24. Hebrews 13, 8. Proverbs 4, 20 to 23. You see, whatever we condone, that's what lived with us. Please, my brothers, my sister, we are believers. So, God hates sickness. The people nursing us hate sickness. we must also hate sickness. There's no pity party. It's your conilario. Devil doesn't have sense. He's not a man of honor. So you don't deal with him gently. The food that he understands is the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, Matthew 4:4, that proceed out of the mouth of God. And that's why, for those of you who have been around Christianity for a while, the devil doesn't care whether you speak English. The woman in my village, if she's exercising her authority, she does it in Yoruba. The devil understands it. I don't know the translation of that in Igbo language. If you speak Igbo, he understands it. When you are speaking the word of God, he understands it. If you speak French and it's the word of God, he understands it. When you speak, and that's why Jesus had to respond to him, man shall not live by bread alone. John 6:63, the Bible says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, if that thing doesn't exist and you speak the word of God over it, it has the capacity to create life. Organs in your body can come alive. If men, in their own wisdom that God has given them, you make a TV and the parts are available for replacement. You make a car and the parts are available for replacement. You make whatever you make, you can replace it with his. How much? Even your phone is automated, or rather, what is it, that thing called that you have to do like an upgrade? Upgrade for effectiveness and efficiency. How much more? It is called hepatitis B, but there is a name that is above every other name. God can give you brand new liver. You might have lost certain things to addiction, drugs, smoking. Hey, he has the capacity. I close with the testimony of a doctor. I shared it during the first service. He actually wrote a book towards the end of our head. Dr. Yeoman is a medical doctor who practices in New York. You can Google the book. Interestingly, I just found out that in between the first and second service, I Google it. That book is on PDF, free, online. Christ the Healer is about 380-something pages book. If you have any sickness in your body, or even if you don't have, so that you can know what it has been freely given to you, read the book, meditate on it. She was a medical doctor. She likes to help people. But very soon, she came under, back then, under stress. And medical science is not the way it is like this. She lived in 18-something. So what she did was that she started depending on morphine. Morphine as a drug is like a painkiller to stabilize her nerves. So she did that until that addiction grew to 50 doses per day. I don't know what that translates into in medical parlance today, but doctors we know. She had a complete nervous breakdown. She can't live. They say when she sits, she begins to shiver. And then she lost her licenses. She lost everything that she had. And then, where they kept her, it was a dark room because she can't even see sun. Because she was in deep depression and she was suicidal. And then she had the tendency to just shout, scream, and cut through any barriers. She became like a man of Gadarene. That was her. At a point, they said they chained her to the ground so that she would not be over violent. And then she remembered in that same brokenness that she had given her life to Christ as a teenager. She renewed her commitment to the Lord, and the Lord healed her, and she was made whole completely. In fact, what she did in the last 30, 40 years of her life was that she had a home. So more like anyone with terminal diseases. And the doctor signed, they said as soon as they are checking them out of the hospital, the doctor said, this one has 1 month to live. So they just move her or that patient from the hospital into that home that she created. And what does she do? She read the word of God over sick people. She just reads it consistently. She reads it consistently. And then she ministers. And over time, The person who has 1 month to live, they are beginning to see them in the marketplaces, transacting business again. And so, it was like a corporation. And you know, we have turned Libra. So if you say that today, people will just say, oh, everybody, you just want everybody to convert into Christianity. You know, that's the devil's ploy. No, we found something that worked. And so she read the scripture, she ministered. And so hospital had an arrangement. Government had to know that, oh, we know. We may not be able to explain that 111, 222, you know, like we make prescription, but we know that when people, because they run tests on those people, cancers disappear. I mean, cancer dissolve, growth disappear, and they see it. The word of God, it works. Don't let the enemy rob you. Sickness, there is no virtue in sickness. There's none. The only virtue there is that pity party, believe? But nobody will help you use the drug. Nobody will help you. You are the one to bear that wrong. But there is something that the Bible has said, which I want to say to everyone who has to deal with sickness here. Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of man sustain him through his infirmity. I will stop here. He said, a broken spirit who shall crush. There is other one man who had a deformed heart. And doctors, the best specialists in the nation at that time, they saw him and they told him that he wasn't going to live until 17 years of age. The man of God, Kenneth E. Hagin. So what did he do at 16? You know, they said that deformed her the way she can just be walking and just pass out. She can't even clear the staircase. A deformed heart. Then she had access to her grandmother's Bible, Methodist Bible. And then he started reading the Bible. And you know, that deformed heart, I don't know how it operates in his life, but sometimes when he's reading, they said he can read for about 2 minutes. And then the letters split into many letters. And his vision just faded out. And then he read one day and got to Mark 11, 21. 22, 23, 24. Have faith in God. Imagine says, have the God kind of faith. Well, how does that work? Calling those things which be not as though they were, because they were. Symptoms still on the body. The God kind of faith said, by his stripes, I am healed. He was wounded for my transgression. By his stripes. He said, ye were healed. So, if I were healed, then I was healed, then I am healed. Because Hebrews 13 says, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So he started studying it. And you know, sometimes when you are doing this, you need to shut yourself out. So even when he started to walk, because at a stage he was bedridden for 16 to 18 months, when he started to walk, people in the house didn't know until one morning, everybody sat at breakfast table and he just walked out. And you know, his grandpa used to be a very funny man. He said, here comes the dead into the land of the living. Where am I going? God healed that heart. The Bible recorded, this man passed, went home at the age of 83. Not the Bible. I mean, the saints of God who were there recorded. He said, when he said he was leaving and he was going home, he said clinically he was dead. In other words, his body has become as stone cold and all that. But his heart, that same deformed heart, was still speaking. That they had to gather intercessor to pray for that heart to stop breathing so that they can leave, they can sign him off. What am I saying? The word of God works. It works. It works. If we say the world doesn't work, it's because we have not given the commitment. Jesus is our healer. Jesus is our restorer. Jesus makes whole. And when he makes whole completely. Jesus can break addiction out of our lives. Jesus can put a stop to generational curses. Jesus, I mean, sometimes when people say these things today, it's as if you have to do something. Hey, You don't have to do something. All you just have to do is to cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. When you are in Jesus, no demons has the audacity. When I open myself in carelessness, then demons can come. Because he said, when hedge, boundaries are removed, serpent can bite. My life, according to Colossians 3, this is my life. I'm like this tom-tom. My life is hidden in Christ, and Christ in God. Whatever will touch me, deal with God first, deal with Christ before getting to me. Bow your heads with me. Let's just give him praise for his word this morning. I am the Lord that he led you. I am the Lord your healer. I sent my word and I healed your disease. I am the Lord your healer. Let's sing it from our heart this morning. You are the Lord that healeth me. You are the Lord my healer.
You sent your word.
You sent your word, and you healed my disease.
You are the Lord.
You are the Lord, my healer. What a healing, Jesus, I found in you. What a healing, Jesus, to restore, refresh, and renew. You're my healing, Jesus. As such a time as this, arise on healing wings, Son of righteousness. I rebuke every sickness and every infirmity. I command the spirit, go from those bodies. Declare healing of God. Healing in your respiratory organ, circulatory system, healing in your bones, in your blood vessel. The Lord Jesus makes you whole. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Migraine headache, go in the name of the Lord Jesus. Ulcer, ulcerated stomach, goes in the name of the Lord Jesus. Body pains goes in the name of the Lord Jesus. Confusion in mind goes in the name of the Lord Jesus. Low self-esteem goes in the name of the Lord Jesus. We declare healing, restoration, renewal in the name of the Lord Jesus. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you are made whole in your spirit, in your mind, in your bodies. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. What a healing, Jesus, I found in you.
What a healing, Jesus.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,